Amen. Let us pray. Our Lord and Heavenly Father, we want to thank you even now as we did at the 8 o'clock service for allowing us to be back here in this house of worship. And while all of us recognize that the church is not really the building per se, it is the people that fill the building. But Lord, there is certainly something very, very special about this particular location where people have been worshiping you and singing praises to you for a long, long time. And we thank you for bringing us back here in this place of fellowship with our brothers and sisters in Christ. And Father, we pray that you would open our ears and our hearts and our minds this morning that we might benefit a little bit from the truth in your word. Amen. All right, let's get into this. Last week, we started a two-part series. We had part one last week, When Life Doesn't Make Sense, part one. So, hey, guess what? This week we're having When Life Doesn't Make Sense, part two. Now, let me tell you, we're going to start off by telling you this. There may be times in your life as a Christian when you are doing everything right that you know to do. You're trying to serve God to the best of your abilities, and yet things continue to go wrong. Last week we saw in Genesis chapter 39 that Joseph was a man who truly loved the Lord with all of his heart, mind, soul, and strength. And he found himself in just about the worst situation imaginable. First of all, the guy was sold to some slave traders by his very own brothers. These slave traders took him away from his homeland all the way down to Egypt, and they sold him as a slave again to another guy. Well, the guy that ended up buying Joseph down in Egypt, his name was Potiphar, and he was the captain of Pharaoh's bodyguard. Pharaoh, of course, is the king of Egypt. So Joseph is a slave in this guy's house. Now, even then, the Lord was still with Joseph when things looked dark, because what we found out when we studied this passage last week, everything that Joseph did for this guy Potiphar, it turned out well. So it didn't take very long before Potiphar got smart and he goes, man, this guy, everything he does, man, is turning to gold. You know, I want this guy in charge of my whole estate. So he tells him, you're the boss of everybody else. All the other servants, you're the man. You're calling the shots. I want you to handle all my business. And we're told that Potiphar didn't have to concern himself with anything except what he wanted to eat. He let Joseph take care of everything else. So even though Joseph was a slave, things were starting to get a little better for him. Oh, but not so fast. Because any improvements to Joseph's situation, they were going to be very short-lived. In addition to being a pretty important man in Pharaoh's administration, Potiphar also had a wife. Well, the Bible says that Joseph was handsome and well-built. Potiphar, his wife, Mrs. Potiphar, she saw that. And we're told that day after day, she would continually try to seduce Joseph. And day after day, he was a righteous man. He resisted her advances. Well, finally, she got so mad that he was rejecting her, she made up a big lie and told her husband that, hey, that Hebrew slave you brought in here tried to rape me. Well, that was a complete lie. But Potiphar got so mad he had Joseph thrown in prison. Now, you talk about life not making sense. The man is sold as a slave by his brothers. He's sold again as a slave to somebody else. He's trying his hardest to be faithful to God through this. And what's he get? Falsely accused and then thrown in prison. Now, hopefully none of you will ever be in a situation as bad as Joseph's. But I promise you this. You are going to experience times in your life where life is just not going to make sense. So what do we do when that happens? When life doesn't make sense, what do we do? Well, I shared two principles with you last week, and we're gonna quickly review those, and then we're going to move on. First of all, when life doesn't make sense, don't demand to understand. Sometimes things are going to happen that you're just not going to understand, and you just got to accept, hey, I'm not going to understand this. God tells us in Isaiah chapter 55, verses 8 and 9, that just as the heavens are higher than the earth, his thoughts and his ways are higher than our thoughts in our ways. I promise you that God does have a divine purpose for everything he allows to come into your life. And just because it doesn't make sense to you, well, that doesn't mean it doesn't make sense to God. So when you find yourself in the middle of a situation, don't demand to understand if it's a bad situation. The second thing we learned last week, when life doesn't make sense, don't fail to be faithful. So many times, folks, men or women, they come to faith in Jesus. They start coming out to church and they're pretty faithful with that. They appear to be walking pretty well with the Lord until trouble strikes. And then you know what they do? Just when they ought to be clinging to God and their church family the most, they give up. They fall away. They stay away from church. They isolate themselves. And you know what happens then? They become an easy target for the devil. Because they're all by themselves instead of reaching out to all of us who are here to help them. When trouble came into Joseph's life, it came like a speeding freight train. But look how he dealt with it. He did not demand to understand. Why is this happening to me? I want to know. He didn't do that. And he didn't fail to be faithful. He continued to trust in God. And because of that, God continued to bless everything the man put his hand to, regardless of how bad his situation was. When we ended our message last week, Joseph is in prison, right? But remember how the story ended? The jailer saw that everything Joseph did turned out well, so he put him in charge of the whole prison. So friends, when life doesn't make sense, one, don't demand to understand. Two, don't fail to be faithful. And number three, don't bow to bitterness. Don't get bitter. When Joseph was in prison, he had an opportunity to witness the two other guys that were part of the Pharaoh's administration. The chief baker, the guy that baked all Pharaoh's food, he was in jail. And so was Pharaoh's cup bearer. You say, well, what's a cup bearer, man? He just brings the dude a cup. Well, it's a little more complicated than that. Back in those days, if you were the king, you were always under the risk of somebody trying to whack you out so they could do a hostile takeover. So they had people that would actually taste the food and the drink. And then if it was poison, you'd keel over and the king would be okay. That's not a job I would like to have. The cupbearer and the baker, they both end up in jail. We're not told why. Pharaoh's mad at them. Well, these guys both have dreams. Joseph is able to witness to them about the power of the Almighty God. They say, man, we're kind of bummed out this morning. We both had dreams last night. We don't get, and there's nobody to interpret them. So Joseph says, well, hey, the power to interpret these dreams belongs to God. Tell me what the dreams are, and perhaps he'll reveal the meaning. So they tell him the dreams. And he gives one guy bad news. He gives one guy good news. To the baker, he says, bro, your goose is cooked. In 3 days, the Pharaoh's going to kill you, man. Ain't nothing I can do for you. And sure enough, that's exactly what happened. But to the cupbearer, he said, listen, in 3 days, Pharaoh's not going to be mad at you anymore. He's going to let you out of prison, and he's going to put you back in your original position. And you're going to have your old job back. Then listen to what Joseph says. Genesis chapter 40, verses 14 and 15. When all goes well with you, remember me and show me kindness. Mention me to Pharaoh and get me out of this prison. For I was forcibly carried off from the land of the Hebrews. And even here, I've done nothing to deserve being put in this dungeon. Folks, we got an example here of Joseph's incredible spirit. He explains his situation to the Pharaoh's cupbearer, but do you notice there's not even a hint of bitterness in anything that he says? He doesn't even mention, yeah, it was my no good brothers who sold me as a slave, and then old Potiphar's wife falsely accused me of rape and had me. He doesn't even say anything about that. All he says is, I haven't done anything wrong. I shouldn't be locked up in prison. So when things go well for you and you get out of here, let Pharaoh know what's going on with me. Friend, when you're doing your best to live like the Bible tells you to live, and you're doing your best to serve God, and it seems you're being punished for your efforts. You're being punished for doing the right thing. Don't become bitter. 1 Peter 2:20 says, how is it to your credit if you receive a beating for doing wrong and endure it? But if you suffer for doing good and endure it, that's commendable before God. We see an illustration of this very principle in the life of Joseph. And as Christians, we got to be super careful that we don't get bitter. If we're not careful to follow these kind of principles that Joseph lays out for us here, when trouble strikes, not only are we going to drop out, we're also going to greatly increase the chances that we're going to become bitter people. That's got no place in the life of a child of God. Bitter people are not nice to be around. It's not nice to be around a bitter person. Sometimes, believe it or not, even pastors can get bitter. I was friends with a pastor for a long time, many years, and over the course of time, he had pastored the same church for quite a while, like a lot of years. And over the course of time, what happened was one or two people, they got bent out of shape at him about something. So they started little criticism. And then they would go trash talk him to somebody else in the church. And then, man, over some time, the dude hadn't changed nothing about the way he did things. He was still preaching like he's supposed to preach. But about half the church got it in their minds that he needed to go. Yeah, there was division sown among the brethren. The guy got fired. He was gone, fired. And I remember him telling me about this, and he kept saying over and over again, how could they do this to me? I served this congregation, man, all these years. I put my own family on the back burner to help these people out. I worked all kinds of hours, took calls in the middle of the night, man, drove all over the place seeing people. Did everything I could, and they fired me. Now, instead of, and I'm not saying that what his congregation did was justifiable or whatever. It was a bad deal. It was all started by a couple troublemakers, and it just kept picking up speed, man, until finally he was pushed out. But the real shame was that this guy didn't seem to realize all these things he had done while serving as a pastor. It wasn't just for those people. Right. It was for God. But the last I heard, he didn't even try to find another church that needed a pastor. He completely dropped out of the ministry, and last I knew, he was selling furniture somewhere out on the East Coast. Let me share a principle with you. If you're a note taker, you might want to write this one down. I got to remind myself of this all the time. Folks, if you're looking to people to supply your needs, if you're looking to people to recognize your worth, you are going to be disappointed in this life, and you're going to get bitter. One of the greatest tests in life is this: not how you react when you're punished for doing wrong, but how you react when you're persecuted for doing what's right. Joseph had done right, and now the man was suffering for it. But even through all of this, there's not a shred of bitterness in him, because God was with him. And one of the reasons God was with him was because he maintained such a great attitude through all of this, and he stayed faithful. That brings us to principle number 4. When life doesn't make sense, don't be unwilling to wait. God will deliver you in his own time. Look at chapter 40, verse 23. The chief cupbearer, however, did not remember Joseph. He forgot him. Now, Joseph had just told the man, hey, in 3 days, you're going to be delivered. You're going to be back out there doing what you do. Please tell Pharaoh about me, and maybe he'll let me out of prison. After 3 days, though, when Joseph's words came true and the guy got out of prison, He forgot all about Joseph. If you move down to Genesis chapter 41, verse 46, you see that it wasn't until Joseph was 30 years old that he finally stood before Pharaoh. He was 17 when his brother sold him as a slave. So for the last 13 years, the man has been a slave and a prisoner. Friends, when you don't understand what's going on, when life doesn't seem to make sense, do not get impatient. Do not make hasty decisions based on partial information or emotion. It will get you into trouble. Psalm 37, verses 5 through 9. This is a little bit of an extended passage. Let me read this to you. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him and he will do this. He will make your righteousness shine like the dawn, the justice of your cause like the noonday sun. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently on him. Do not fret when evil men succeed, when they carry out their wicked schemes. Refrain from anger and turn from wrath. Do not fret. It only leads to evil. Evil men will be cut off, but those who hope in the Lord will inherit the land. Over and over and over again, the word of God tells us to wait on the Lord. So when trouble comes, when life doesn't make sense, don't be unwilling to wait. I heard this story about two preachers. One of them was going through a real rough time, and he said to his pastor buddy, I know God knows that he's put me here, but I just wonder if he remembers where he put me. Now, sometimes I felt that way too. Trust me, God knows where you are. The Bible says that the very hairs of your head are numbered. And the God that was with Joseph when he was a boy, the God who was with Joseph when he was a slave, was still with him when he was in prison. Don't be unwilling to wait. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6 says, humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up when? In due time. God has his schedule, and he's never late. But check this out. He never early neither. He's never early either. We just read in Psalm 37 that he will make the justice of your cause shine like the noonday sun. Let me tell you this about the sun. You can't speed it up and you can't stop it either. It's the same way with the Lord. He's always on time. Some years ago, I read a story about five-term senator from North Carolina, a guy named Jesse Helms. He was telling this story about this Russian author. This guy was an author back in the communist days of Russia. His name was Alexander Solzhenitsyn, and he was a very outspoken critic of the communist government that was running the Soviet Union. Now, despite growing up in this atheistic, godless communist society, Alexander Solzhenitsyn, he was actually a very godly man. However, because he was so outspoken against the communist government, they threw him in a prison camp. Years later, when he was finally released, he met Senator Jesse Helms and he said to him, I hope you never, ever know what real oppression is. And he told him all about how he was forced to do really hard physical labor in this prison camp. They had zero contact from the outside world. There was no radio, no TV. They took away everybody's writing and reading materials, and they would not even let the prisoners talk to each other. So they literally had no human interaction, like verbal, with anybody except for the guards yelling at them and telling them what to do. He said this went on day after day, year after year. Just this back-breaking labor, never talking to nobody, armed guards just hoping we would try to run so they could kill us. And then Alexander Solzhenitsyn said, this went on for so long, I wondered if anybody even knew where I was, let alone if they cared. So he said, finally, I decided I would end my life. I was going to end my life. but my faith would not let me do that. I knew what it would be wrong for me to commit suicide. And he said, as I struggled with this day after day, my mind became more twisted and dark and perverted. And I'm thinking all these things that I shouldn't be thinking. So I thought, well, maybe if I try to escape, then the guards will shoot me and I won't really be committing suicide. He said, I know now that's wrong, but at the time my mind was just so twisted up, I decided I was going to make my escape attempt. And he said, one day they gave us a short break. I'm sitting there under a tree and I'm looking at the guard. He's standing there with his AK-47, and I was just about to jump up and run knowing I was going to get shot in the back. He said, and at that very moment, a man who I never saw before and maybe I'll never see again, he might have been an angel. I don't know. He said, remember, we couldn't talk to each other, but this man came and stood up in front of me and he had a little twig in his hand and he looked at me with compassion and understanding in his eyes. And in the dust with that twig, he drew a cross and then he turned around and walked away. And Alexander Solzhenitsyn has said, I knew this was a message from God, and what I was about to do was wrong. Check this part of the story out. He said, as I settled back down, little did I know that people all over the world had heard about my story, and that in just 3 days, I would be a free man in Switzerland. Wait upon the Lord, beloved. Don't be unwilling to wait. The Bible says, humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, and he will deliver you in due time. So when you don't understand what's going on, don't try to get God to hurry up. This brings us to the final principle we want to consider. Principle number 5. When life doesn't make sense, don't let your dreams dissolve. Joseph had a dream when he was a boy. You remember what it was? He dreamed that one day many people, including his own brothers, would bow down before him. That's one of the reasons they hated him so much. I want you to see what the scriptures say in Genesis 41, 37 through 44. Now, let me give you just a quick background. I don't have time to tell you all this. But here's how Joseph got out of prison finally. Pharaoh ended up having a dream. Nobody could tell him what the dream meant. Then the cupbearer goes, oh man, today I'm reminded of my shortcomings. There was this Jewish guy I was in prison with and he told me what my dream meant and it came true. So Pharaoh said, well, get that boy up here. And Joseph tells Pharaoh, hey, here's what your dream means. There's going to be 7 good years of plentiful crops. But listen, Pharaoh, after that, there's going to be 7 super bad years. They're going to be so bad, all them good years will be completely forgotten. Egypt is going to be ruined. So what you need to do, put somebody in charge of a food storage program, and for these next 7 years till the famine hits, let's put some food back, and then everything will be good. Let's see what Pharaoh says. Beginning of verse 37. The plan seemed good to Pharaoh and to his officials. So Pharaoh asked them, can we find anyone like this man, one in whom is the Spirit of God? Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, since God has made all this known to you, there is no one so discerning and wise as you are. You shall be in charge of all my palace, and all my people are to submit to your orders. Only with respect to the throne will I be greater than you. So Pharaoh said to Joseph, I hereby put you in charge of the whole land of Egypt. Then Pharaoh took off his signet ring and he put it on Joseph's finger. He dressed him in robes of fine linen and put a gold chain on his neck. He had him ride in a chariot as his second in command, and men shouted before him, make way! Thus he put him in charge of the whole land of Egypt. Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, I am Pharaoh, but without your word, no one will lift hand or foot in all of Egypt. Folks, this is the fulfillment of the dream that Joseph had so many years earlier. It was a God-given dream, and Joseph never forgot that dream that God gave him. And you know what else? God never forgot that dream either. Don't doubt in the dark what God has told you in the light. God did not fail Joseph. And look up here and listen to me for a minute. God will not fail you either. You understand what I'm telling you? God didn't fail Joseph, and God will not fail you. Don't let your dreams dissolve, friends. No longer is the hand of Joseph the hand of a slave. He's got the king's ring on his finger. No longer is he wearing prison clothes. The guy is wearing royal robes. The iron chains have been taken off of him. Now he's wearing a gold necklace. God is faithful. You know, I've read this story from the book of Genesis so many times, and I've often wondered about something. Pharaoh said, Joseph, I'm putting you in charge of everything. Nobody can move a muscle without your permission. I've thought about Potiphar, this man who was the captain of Pharaoh's bodyguard and had Joseph thrown into prison. Can you imagine what he must have been thinking after Pharaoh made this announcement that Joseph, he's the boss, everybody answers to him? Here comes Joseph riding down the road in his chariot, and guys are running in front of him shouting, bow your knee, here comes the boss. Everywhere Joseph went, people bow down before him now. This young man who did not demand to understand. This young man who did not fail to be faithful or didn't bow to bitterness. He was willing to wait, and he did not let his dreams dissolve. I picture Potiphar having dinner with his wife, and he says, hey, you remember several years ago we had this Hebrew slave, and you told me he tried to rape you, and I had his behind thrown in prison? And she says, oh, yeah, I remember that. I picture Pharaoh saying, well, for your sake and mine, I hope you was telling the truth, because I report to him tomorrow morning. Amen. Brothers and sisters, as we wrap it up, let me tell you this. There is a day coming when God is going to make everything right. Don't lose your faith when life doesn't make sense. Just because it doesn't make sense right now doesn't mean that it won't make sense later. Keep serving Jesus. Don't ever quit. Give him your heart. Give him your life. And don't ever, ever lose your dream. Amen. Somebody says, well, Pastor, I never had a dream. Then go get one.
That's right.
Get yourself a dream and hold on to it. Back in the Old Testament, in the book of Joel, we're told in chapter 2, verse 28, God is speaking here. He says, I will pour out my spirit on all people, and your old men will dream dreams. Get yourself a dream. It's always too soon to quit, and it's never too late to start. Let us pray. All heads are bowed, all eyes are closed. Friend, if you know that you need Jesus, let me tell you something. You can be saved today. Back in the Old Testament, those believers, they look forward to a coming Messiah. Today we look back to a Messiah who's already came. If you need to be saved and you want to be saved today, pray a prayer like this and just mean it from your heart. God, I know I'm a sinner. I deserve your judgment, but I want your mercy. Lord, I do not want to die and go to hell. I want to be saved. Jesus, you promised to save me if I would trust you. I do trust you. Come into my heart, forgive my sin, and save me, Jesus. Now, if you prayed that prayer, I want to ask you to pray a little prayer of thanksgiving. Say with me now, thank you, Lord, for saving me. I believe you've done it. I receive it by faith. I don't look for a feeling, or I don't ask for a sign. I just stand on your promise. Jesus, help me to be the person you want me to be. I know I'm weak, but you're strong. Help to strengthen my faith. Lord, I will never be ashamed of you. Give me the courage to make my faith in you public. In your name I pray. Amen. Thank you all very much, and God bless you. Would you please bow your heads for the benediction? Now unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen.